said, I never lost my praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My God. My God. Has it been good to you? I said, has it been good to you? There's no reason why any of us should be quiet this morning. I submit for your consideration if God has done anything for you. I want to take 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Give God the front of your lips.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray. wife, Lord, pray that you keep them. Stir up the gift of God in them. Lord, we send a special prayer right now in the name of Jesus for Nasir Kim, Lord. For we know that there's a bomb in Gilead. For you are the God that healeth your people. Lord, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, Lord, heal his body. Perform a miracle. Right now in the name of Jesus, we count it done, Lord. Lord, we ask that you orchestrate the hands of the surgeons. If there is surgery, Lord, we're praying for a favorable outcome. At the end, that there might be a glorious testimony. But Lord, as your blessing on us, Lord, please leave a blessing behind for us. Search us, O God, in your hearts. Try us in your faults. See if it be in the way of us. And lead us in our way everlasting. Lord, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. And Lord God, at thy right hand, there are pleasures of more. But Lord, as we continue to follow you, Lord, help us to walk on the water. Increase our faith and help our unbelief. Lord, if it had not been for you last evening, Lord, the adversary of the devil would have had a divine fruit to the adversary to sift us as we. Lord, every trial, every test, every burden, every tribulation, we lay at the altar right now in the name of Jesus. Perform miracles. Confirm your word with signs, miracles, and wonders. And Lord, let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and that we may glorify you, which is in heaven. Feed us, brethren. Feed us, brethren.
Really like Phil talking. And I really like it. And for the first time,
the second biggest in the room. And I really like that. So I had to get a photo with him. I've seen some stars. I never asked for photos. But when I had to look up, I'm like, yeah, give me a photo. So I thank God for the trip. I thank God for everything. I thank God because you can get some attitude when you're that close together, that long together. You can get some attitudes. And actually, I think they kicked me off the bus. And I told my brother Fritz, I said, I'm going to hang with you to the end. But when the opportunity came, I did. And my wife had these phobias about crowds and stuff, so I used that excuse to take a flight back. And I forgot I'm afraid to fly, so I'm like, what am I doing? I forgot I'm afraid to fly. So, but when you got home in an hour and a half, I'm like, boy, you can't beat that. I was eating popcorn while you guys were driving, and I was praying for you. And I thank God for everything. And I said, I know, man, he's glad I'm not there. So, thank God for everything. I don't want to hold you too long, I really don't. So, Matthew, we're going to read from the 17th verse. We're going to conclude with the 22nd verse of Matthew 21. We all have it?
Amen.
All right, let's read it together. And he left them. Went out of the city in Bethany. He lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on this henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. But when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done to this fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Heavenly Father, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we just want to come to you right now. Lord God, we thank you for safe travel over the highways and the byways. Lord God, we just ask that you bless our pastor and assistant pastor while they're out of town, Lord God. Lord God, give them rest, Lord God. As you said you give your beloved rest, Lord God. Lord God, just help their minds to be renewed, Lord God. Renew their strength right now. Renew their commitment towards you, Lord God. Lord God, just have your way in this service, Lord God. Help some soul to cry out, what must I do to be saved? Now, Lord God, bless your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I thought it might be nice, and just a thought, and we'll agree on it. When you're on vacation, I don't know if you do it, but I don't really call my job when I'm on vacation. And I don't check in with too many people, but I know the type of people we have over us. They're going to call some of you. And I just thought, well, sure would be nice if you were the one that said, Pastor, everything's good, but I hope you're enjoying yourself, and I love you, but I got to go. Let's talk to you later. You finished enjoying yourself. Be nice, but that's just me. Am I the only one thinking that? I mean, if your house is burning down and you got emergencies, you need to talk to the pastor. I mean, let's talk to the pastor. If you got something to talk to him about, talk to him about it. But I'm just saying, it'd be nice if we just kind of back up. Because, you know, when they get you sometime, they can go sometime. So it'd be nice. I'm just thinking, and maybe I'm alone here. Hey, Pastor, boy, it's nice hearing from you. And I want you to go ahead and really finish enjoying what you were doing.
Yes,
everything's
yes.
good here. And
yes.
you can't lie if your life's in turmoil. Okay? There's a tornado outside and you're talking about, oh, it's beautiful here. Let's not lie about it. I'm just saying, it'd be nice if everything's all right.
Yes.
Just kind of let them get off the phone
Amen.
And get away from you and me for a while. Anyway, am I alone with that or do we,
Amen.
Are we all together? On this
Light of the World Conference. And I love Bishop Hayes, how nice, you know, there's a lot of preachers out there and they don't really have to be nice to you. But he told me on my way out, he said, "Hey Lee, why don't you call me sometime?" And I'm like, "Call you? What? I never heard that from pastors and different leaders, you know." And he's not even my pastor. He said, "Call him." I'm like, "Okay." So now I'm obligated to call him. But I said, "Wow, he's such a nice guy, nice man." But I want to say that we heard some beautiful preaching and the presentation of the preaching. I think there's a lot to be learned when the way they present the word and the authority and everything. I think it's something to be learned for us here coming up as young ministers especially. And it was fantastic. I mean, I can't believe how much I enjoyed myself. I forget the district elder's name, the last service we had. Is it
Pew.
I said I didn't know, so. But anyway, he touched on something that kind of pricked me, and me and Minister Simon kind of briefly talked about it. And today I want to talk to you about something. They say one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Yeah.
And I want to talk to you about trash or treasure.
All right.
And he pricked my heart when he spoke, because when you hear something, when you hear Israel, okay, the church seemed to be divided. And this man came and he showed where he was on the issue.
Yeah.
And he showed the true word of God. And he went in it, but you can tell because of the atmosphere, he didn't want to just go through roughly. He tiptoed a little bit, but he came through with the truth. And I'm excited about it because I'm like, you normally don't get that. You normally get, you're blessed if you do for Israel and all of this stuff. You know, and I always say, why don't we stick to the Bible, what the Bible says, instead of what we've been taught by someone, a carbon copy of a carbon copy of a carbon copy. By the time you get down, you're just a mess. So why don't we get to the root, the Word of God? And in this 21st chapter, I have never heard, and don't think I'm boasting on me, but I don't remember ever hearing preachers really go on this as the true Word of God, as the straight Word of God. I think Jesus said his own words, and we don't have to fancy them up. He talked about this fig tree. And I'm going to tell you, the question I have for you is, who is the seed of Abraham? And I don't need an outward answer, but you think in your mind, who is the seed of Abraham? Who is the seed of Abraham? This is a big problem in the church. We're divided on this. But I got to tell you, the word tells you who is the seed of Abraham. And we're going to go into that same chapter, and we're going to read from verse 33, and I'll read. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
All right, now, when he cursed that fig tree, that was literal, and now he's going into a bunch of parables. He's just talking a different parable here, different parable there, and I'm going to pick it up here in the 33rd verse. And then he said, "Hear another parable. And there was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen." Let me just stop right there so it won't be confusing. A husbandman is like something like a sharecropper. He does not own that land, but they are letting him stay there to work it and to receive some fruit from that land. So that's what that is all about. Verse 34. "And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servant to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruit of it. And the husbandman took his servant and beat one and killed another one and stoned another. And again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise." Now check this. I want you to please get a picture in your head. This is the straight word of God. I'm not adding nothing to it. He has something and he's letting it out. But he's now saying, okay, the time of harvest is now. Let me go and get something for myself, my family. So I'm going to send somebody to get it. I'm rich. I got somebody I'm going to send for that, my servant. But they killed one, stone another. Then they killed another, stone another. All right? Say it with me, please. What verse we're on? 37. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will receive my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard he owns, cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. And when the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? In the parable. He stopped right there. In the parable. What do you think he's going to do when he find out they killed his son? What do you think they're going to do when he comes back and find out what they did and see his son dead there? What do you think this rich man's going to do? Verse 41. And they said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard to other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit of their seasons. Now Jesus, the parable is ended. Now they answered the question, so they got it right. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, did ye never read the scriptures? And this is why it's so important to have the word down in you, because when someone's bringing the word, you can detect, this is real, this is not real. Yes, we might be happy, but I'm able to detect in the middle of my happiness whether it's a true word of God or it's a deceit word of God. I'm able to, even in the spirit, everyone's jumping around, but at the same time, I'm able to say, I can identify with that. No matter, 2 million people are jumping around. If something ain't right, it's just not right. But I'm talking about the straight word of God. Jesus, this is the straight word, and I'm not talking good about myself. I'm just saying, I never heard too much about this. Pastors and ministers don't go here that much. Why not? Let's continue reading. Did you never read in the scripture the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the cornerstone, of the corner? Forgive me, when I look up and I look back down, my vision is all messed up. I have to refocus, so forgive me. This is the Lord's doing, and it is a marvelous, it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto to you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. Understand what I'm saying. The kingdom of God shall be taken from you. This is no longer the parable. This is Jesus talking to them. The kingdom shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruit thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Understand what he's saying here. I need you to get a picture here. What he is saying here is, you can willingly buy. But at some point, you didn't willingly bow, I'm going to make you bow. But now after I make you bow, you're going to be grinded up into powder. You're done. You're finished. At least if you were just broken, I can do something for you. But because you were standing and you refused to bend your knee and refused to humble yourself, I will grind you to powder. This same stone, it does one thing for one person and another thing for another. I want to tell you about a little situation growing up, and I'll get back to this. I remember growing up as a child, and my father, he truly loved me, and he would give me gifts, and you know, people be a little jealous of the gifts I would get sometimes. Well, except for this one time when this gift showed up. I was a German Shepherd, and we had dogs in my neighborhood named Killer and Dillinger and Caesar, and he had this dog named Frisky. Lord have mercy. And Frisky had a weird way of walking. It wasn't that Killer walk, I'll just put it to you like that. The tail hung way up under the belly, and it kind of looked around, and it was nervous and jerky. It had been abused. And I looked at the dog and I'm like, if it had a disease when we got it, we had to nurse it back to help my mom. And I knew somebody would be over here laughing, but that's all right. And my mom had to work real hard to get it back to health and live. And I don't know where he got the dog from. But this dog, I began to just hate it. You know, I'm like, my friend over there got a nice German Shepherd, a Doberman next door to me. They all look, pretty tough, They all proud to walk down the street with them, And here I walk real late at night, real late. Mom said, you don't go out after certain hours. Mom, you don't let me go out at night real late, or I just don't go with this dog. So I began to just forget about and neglect that dog. It became trash to me. It became nothing to me. And I mean, I was like 12, 13 years old. And this dog, I'm gonna tell you, she was cute, it was a she. And it was a cute dog, but the way that she walked just messed my mind up. So anyway, months go by, now we put the dog in the backyard, because I surely don't want it in the house with me, because it's trash. Out back it goes. But downstairs, there's my first cousin. And he took the dog, and he nourished the dog, and gave the dog confidence, and built the dog up, and the tail came from under the body, and it walked kind of proud looking, and it walked kind of tough, and started having self-confidence, and that dog ended up being just like Killer across the street and Dillinger down the block. And I remember trying now to come back and claim the dog, and my cousin and I, we were tight. You could not get between us. But when he had my dog looking all proud and nice looking, and nice coat of fur on the dog, I looked at him and I said, that is my dog. What are you doing with my dog? But the problem is, my trash became his treasure. Yes. And he began to love that dog. So he said, I'll tell you what, it can be our dog, but you didn't feed it, you didn't care. I built a house out here. Did you see the house I built for him? I'm like, no, I didn't even look out the window. That's how much I didn't want the dog. And, but the dog was beautiful. And I just said that to say, sometimes we don't appreciate something when we got it.
Yes.
Now let's go back here. I forgot where I was, so tell me. 44. Well, we're gonna go to 45. We already read that. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. Now understand this. Now in this 21st chapter, I promise to read this whole thing at some point this week. Just read this whole thing, because we'll be here all day if I read it all. In this 21st, he cursed the fig tree, and no fruit grew on it forever. But remember, there were leaves on the tree. The problem with that fig tree was, I did some research on it. At the time that trees, they go through a stage after the winter. They begin to have leaves first. And then a few weeks or months after, the fruit show up. At the time when that tree, all other trees had fruit on it at that time. This tree still only had leaves. So what it is that tree wasn't dead, but it was good for no fruit. There was no fruit on that tree. And he said, curse this tree, let no fruit grow forever. And a lot of people like to tell you that, oh, God is always going to turn back to the nation of Israel. Well, that tree signifies what happened there. There will never be a nation of Israel in God's eyes. Now, everything must go through Jesus. Remember, before the promise came, it was a schoolmaster. So it was only up to that time. They were supposed to embrace the promise. They chose not to. Some didn't recognize, but I'm going to tell you, it's a little deeper than that. Some of them knew exactly what they were doing. They chose to worship other gods. They chose to follow after the god of serpents. They chose to do different things. And what has happened over these years, you find that most of your big corporations, I'm sorry, from Bill Gates to Dell to Seagram's Liquors, all of it's owned by these people. Who gave them their ability and their power? Who is giving it? Could it be the same one that was trying to bless Jesus on the mountain? You don't bless God. The God of this world bless our God. Come on. But somebody took the whole hook, line, and sinker. There's someone embraced when he was showing up, when he was offering. Someone took that deal. When he sweetened the deal, someone grabbed it. Let's turn with me to Galatians, the third chapter. And I'm just going to tell you that God is a good God. Oh, he's good. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Galatians, the third chapter. Now, like I said, this is trash for treasure. What is it to you? Is he trash or is he treasure? What are you to him? Are you trash or are you treasure? Are you part of what could be cursed forever? Or are you embracing him and he's going to bless you forever? There's always two sides. Now I want to tell you, chapter 3, I'm going to just skim through a few things. You can't get around this. And some say, well, you don't want to talk about that too much. Let me tell you, Jesus talked about this a lot. The entire book of Romans is talking about this very thing. John is talking about it. Peter talked about it. They all have talked about this because there was a constant struggle to pull these people that were going to Christ back into Judaism. And when you really know why God was trying to spare them from Judaism, it's because it's really under the surface Satanism. It's really, they didn't really follow after Moses. Remember, one servant came, they beat him and stoned him. If they're so in love with the law, if they're so in love with the law that Moses gave, why did they beat the servants? Why did they kill other servants? Why did they stone servants? It's something deeper than that. Read between the lines. If God saw them and they just were ignorant and they just didn't see it, God would give them mercy on it. But he said he will destroy and burn their city. Did we not just read that? He will burn their city. That's outside of the parable. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. I'm just going to skim through. Now, it says Galatians, but here's what the deal is. There are Jews there. So remember, the Jews were scattering because of persecution, because there's a lot of them were Christians. These were Christian Jews, but there were false brethren among the Christian Jews telling them, well, you don't have to pay your tithe. You ain't got to do it the way the church is saying to do it. You don't have to go to church every Sunday. You don't have to show up. You can do your own thing. Remember, we did our own thing, and we kind of got away. God is still, by natural birth, God is still going to bless us in the end, and we're good. You don't have to do that. All you got to do is have God in your heart. This is what they were trying to pull them back. So, now, this is Paul, not me. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? He's telling them, how could you doubt this Jesus was crucified right in front of you? How can you doubt what he stands for? You believed at one point. Now someone come back and tell you there's another way? I'm sorry, there's not another way. He's straightening a situation. This entire book from chapter 1 all the way through is trying to get them to understand what this whole thing is all about. This is a prayer, an answer, and remember the Bible in Hebrews, it talks about that they, in the Old Testament, saw the promise afar off. What promise? Who is the seed of Abraham? Let's see here. Verse 6. Okay, even as Abraham counted to him for righteousness. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? Wait a minute, this is different. You mean to tell me that it's not just the Jew that's going to be a father, Abraham? You mean to tell me it's someone else that can also claim that heritage? It says it plain as day. Verse 8. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In thee. What do you mean in thee? Abraham's dead and gone. In thee shall all nations be blessed. What's going to bless them? All right, let's keep going. Verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The same blessing that he offered Abraham. We love to be in church talking about, oh, if you be kind to the Jew, you'll be blessed. He said Abraham. He didn't say the Jew. He said Abraham. All right? But now we are right there with Abraham. All right? I'm telling you, I'm about to have some really good news for you. Really blessed. You just don't know how blessed you are. I'm about to share it, but I can hardly wait to get there. Can hardly wait. 26, verse, no, we'll go to verse 14. You still with me?
Yeah.
Not tired yet?
Yes,
all right. 14 says, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise. Oh, Lord have mercy. The promise. I'm telling you, you don't know how blessed, and probably I don't even realize how blessed I am when you think about it. Let's keep going, because I can't wait to get here, so I don't want to prolong it. I gotta go. 26, verse 26. For ye are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Now let's read here. 27. For as many of you as been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. We love reading that, but what is he talking about? Now, here's an important thing. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Let me break this down just a little bit. What he is talking about, is there a Jew? Of course there's a Jew. Is there a Greek? Of course there's a Greek. There's male and female right here. What he is saying, if I can paraphrase, it is no longer important to be a Jew or a Greek. It's no longer important to be bond or free. It's no longer important to be male or female. I have come. I am the promise. When the promise came, it changed everything. Remember when he hung his head and said the veil ripped from top to the bottom. Like Brother Lance always says, if someone did it from the bottom up, someone would say that's man's doing. But it ripped from the top down. God did a marvelous thing when he saved you and me. And I got to go a little further. Verse 29. Now here it is. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I told you, let's go back here. Because, what verse does it say? I'm looking for where it says Christ is that seed. Somebody find it for me, my eyes are shot.
16.
Okay. See, I don't want to explain, I don't want to read so much, so I'm just trying to skip. And now to Abraham and to his seed were the promise. And he said not to his seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is who?
Christ.
Who is the seed of Abraham?
Christ.
I mean, am I looking wrong? Do I see it here?
Yes,
It clearly states that Christ is the seed. And I know we all look at Isaac and try to figure out, well, he was the seed. He's the promise. So then Jacob, that's the promise. No, that was just a hold off until the promise came. It came through that line. And it tells you in this book of Galatians that the fact that the matter is the Jews brought forth two things. They brought forth the seed, and they brought the oracles of God. They brought the word down the way. So they had two things. And yes, they are blessed for doing that. But God could have chosen anyone to do that. He could have came in any lineage to do that. But he chose this certain route. And then they got a little puffed up, and they got to start smelling themselves, as my mom would say. They started feeling good and walking around saying, we can do whatever we want. We're blessed forever. We're Abraham's seed. But when the promise came, it changed everything. You are no longer the seed unless you accept Christ. You are not the seed. Now I'm getting to the best part of this. Woo! The best part. Verse 29. Now, you know that Christ is the seed, right? We already learned that, right? Oh, I'm happy. We know that Christ is the seed. That's easy. All right. Now, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. If you embrace Christ and all that he stands for and all that he's offering, then are you Abraham's seed. Who is doing that today? Is it not the apostolic truth? Is it not us in church? We've embraced Christ. We are the seed of Abraham.
Take a chance on being fruitless and just have a few leaves
flopping in the wind. I mean, I'm telling you, what became trash to one person has become someone else's treasure. But we have to set our affections on things that are above and not on things on the earth. Hallelujah. All of us, if we're able to stand and just give God a hand clap right now.